I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E. Pluribus Unum.
He said you were involved in a racial incident.
And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, September 28th, 2021 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride, but can we just be honest and say that we are complicit and it wouldn't happen? I don't think it could happen if we didn't choose to be complicit. I think that a number of things come to mind, not the least of which Abraham Lincoln's Lyceum address, where I think he said it best, at what point then is the approach of danger to be expected? He said, I answer, if it ever reach us, it must spring up amongst us. It cannot come from abroad. If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of free men, we must live through all time or die by suicide. And if we had the political will, as bad guys like to say, if we had the stomach, then we could push back. If we had the courage to live by our convictions. You know, it's funny, guys like Aaron Lewis write songs, Toby Keith, you know, I don't understand why, Aaron Lewis wants to boycott Bruce Springsteen. I think we should boycott Toby Keith if he's over giving concerts to Saudi dignitaries. Weren't 15 of 19 hijackers armed with box cutters Saudi? Wasn't bin Laden Saudi? You know, I mean, if we're going to follow the establishment narrative, doesn't that kind of make you scratch your head? What's Toby Keith doing in Saudi Arabia giving concerts to Saudi dignitaries? That seems peculiar to me, which gets to where I'm headed about solutions. I've been sort of hinting at solutions, talk about them from time to time. What can we do? What is to be done, dear comrades? What is to be done? I have some specific ideas, very specific ideas. I think we could really begin putting things right in about a month. And maybe sooner, who knows? And within about 6 years, within about a Senate term, everything could be squared away in America. It wouldn't take much. I mean, simple, perhaps not easy, because the opposition is, the Machiavellian intrigue and sophistry that's employed. Look at what has happened in the last 18 to 24 months, for example, with the propaganda going way over the top. The lies about, January 6th, I mean, they're just lies, straight lies. It was a LARPing event. And you may recall I was talking about it that day as I was watching it live on C-SPAN, and it looked like some peculiar-looking folks just, tourists touring the Capitol. That's what it looked like initially. And then it's been construed as this crazy thing. And, what were LARPers doing in the congressional chambers? How was someone allowed to occupy the dais and so forth? It's just absurd. It was a propaganda stunt. So we'll get to solutions in a minute. First, I think we should start perhaps with a little bit of housekeeping yesterday. So, I think, we need to look a little closer sometimes. When Jerry Falwell comes up, I mean, there are a number of folks. I mean, this, I'm not going to dive down this rabbit hole right now, but, who's who in the zoo gets complicated and convoluted pretty quickly, I think, because, how do I say this? You have this sort of interlocking directorate of folks, the Belmont Brotherhood, A.J. McDonald, the NAM, the National Association of Manufacturers. You have the Council on Foreign Relations, of course, and Trilateral Commission, of course, CSIS, IISS, Rand, Brookings, and the thousands of other multiplied thousands of think tanks, and they just keep rubbing together and multiplying, and these little sets, like an alien, sets of reticulated jaws, just one after another popping out of the other, another, and it's kind of like, if those jaws go up, they get, smaller sets of jaws. It's almost like that's the hierarchy. These groups birth these other groups, and then you end up with, a look at a smaller coterie of folks, kind of like maybe the group of 30, the financial guys that think they, are special, because they go to special schools and knowledge is power. And so we've gone to London School of Economics and Wharton and all of these places. I saw an article about kids in Montana being taught financials, financial acumen, or given a financial education. I wonder if one of the first things they're going to be taught is how the central banking credit monopoly works, how the so-called fractional, so-called reserve system works. If it's infinitely fractional and infinitely not reserve, what happens eventually? You run into that old Triffin dilemma. Because you're lying. You're stealing. It's a scheme, and you're cheating and defrauding people, which is why you got to have big guns to enforce it. So, America is the Praetorian Guard of the central banking Ponzi scheme. Are those kids going to learn that? That gets to solutions. I'll get back to that in a minute. So when you go down this rabbit hole, you have, CFR, Trilateral Commission, obviously, and then you have you know, you go back in history, you have, of course, you know, Harriman, the Harriman name, and, you know, the Bohemians, and, I mean, where do we begin? John Birch, Sproul Braden, Standard Oil, United Fruit, and all of the, you know, the CIA, obviously, all of the covert regime change actions that were really, you know, not what they were made out to be. Federal Reserve, obviously. There's this, you know, who's who in the zoo. It gets Wackenhut, FBI, Carlyle Group, Frank Carlucci, obviously, the State Department. So it gets murky, and I don't want to dive down that rabbit hole and unpack all of that. You know, William Casey, all kinds of colorful, enigmatic figures. But there are some interesting things that happen, curious coincidences of timing. Larry McDonald was on Crossfire back in May of 1983, and by September he was dead. Shot down on Korean Airlines Flight 007. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And on that appearance, Crossfire with Tom Braden and Pat Buchanan, he said some interesting things. And it reminds me of JFK's Yale commencement address when he was, you know, the names that JFK was casually and sort of anecdotally naming were predominantly Skull and Bones men. Was that just a coincidence? Did he just accidentally do that? So Larry McDonald named some interesting people, and I'll just skip to the spoiler. When I hear Jerry Falwell, I think of Jerry Falwell the day after. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Quoted in the Washington Post, Jerry Falwell was quoted September 2, 1983, saying, "There's a real question in my mind that the Soviets may have actually murdered 269 passengers and crew on the Korean Airlines Flight 007 in order to kill Larry McDonald." Why did Jerry Falwell say that? And, you know, then you have the Council for National Policy and all of that kind of stuff. And where, you know, who comes into the power cliques knowing what they're getting into, and who comes into them just thinking, you know, growing up believing like this is where you go. You go to Yale, you go to Harvard, you do this, you do that. Only to realize perhaps at some point that, you know, maybe you could say, you know, a person has been suborned, as John Brennan would say. And then now that you're compromised, hey, guess what? If you ever try to say anything or tell anybody about this, you will be ruined publicly or worse. I don't think it's always easy to tell who's who. I certainly wouldn't say that I have it all figured out. But I think that, you know, looking at things a little differently than the mainstream media portrays things is sometimes in order. You know, I think that's why James Loewen wrote Lies My Teacher Told Me as an example. So Jerry Falwell had some interesting remarks after the untimely demise of Congressman Larry McDonald. Here is that exchange, a little bit of that exchange. Larry McDonald on Crossfire, May 1983 with Pat Buchanan and Tom Braden. Go ahead, please.
Joiner that I've ever seen in the world. You belong, as I counted them, to 67 organizations, among which are the National Rifle Association, the American Pistol and Revolver Association, the Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, the Second Amendment Foundation, and the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms.
Well, Tom, I think there's a real drive in this country to try to destroy the realization of our citizens that they have a fundamental constitutional right to keep and bear arms as the Constitution allows. And unfortunately, there are those in our society, including elements of the PTA nationally, not always locally by any stretch, but nationally, who would believe that the federal government should restrict the right of citizens to keep and bear arms.
Can I get back to that?
What kind of grades do you give Ronald Reagan as president, and what kind of grades does the John Birch Society give him?
Well, I would say in his speeches, Pat, you'd have to give him close to an A, B plus to an A, but in his performance,
What's most disappointing?
Well, I think the fact that the rhetoric is going one way and the record is going another.
Let me ask you about this conspiracy again.
Well, you can take the issue of one of the major problems of this country is inflation,
right,
and the problems of the destruction of the dollar. And the fact of the matter is, in spite of promises of the contrary, Reagan has not moved to correct the deficiencies. We're now back to Keynesian economics, despite comments to the contrary.
Do you think that's a result of the conspiracy you mentioned? Is there somebody working on him to get the inflation so that this country will be weakened?
Well, as a man who campaigned against elitism, as a man who in his campaign rhetoric said that he would not be having the Council on Foreign Relations trilateral types dominating his cabinet, he's got about 250 members of such in his administration.
Well, let me ask you about Bill Casey. Now, I've known Bill.
250 members.
I've known,
well, of the trilateral committee.
I've known Bill Casey
in the administration.
I've known Bill Casey, the director of CIA, since World War II. As a matter of fact, in World War II, he was my boss. Now, you're a public relations director of the John Birch Society, says that Bill Casey is a part of this conspiracy that's trying to bring about world government.
Before he became CIA, one of his big jobs was aiding in the transfer of technology and goods and so forth to the Soviet Union, helping the Camera River Project, the Export-Import Bank. Helping to finance
Is the Export-Import Bank part of the conspiracy?
I think the fact that the American people have been tapped steadily, especially since World War II, to finance their enemies and to have the massive technology transfer to those who
I
were
agree
doing
with
it.
You
know that from the Braden Doctrine in the agency, which you're very familiar with, and the feeling that we must somehow subsidize the, quote, non-communist left. That's among our so-called allies.
Braden was
and in country after country, that turned out to be the communists,
mm-hmm.
the crypto-communists masquerading
yeah,
as
that's
the non-communist.
Yeah, that's Mr. Mitterrand, who has taken the strongest position against the Russians of any Western European
Well, he was about to lose everything at the polls, and he had to show some sign. It's very difficult to say exactly how far that will
Congressman
be.
Congressman McDonnell, he's been using the term conspiracy.
No, I didn't use it. For heaven's sakes, Pat. The John Birch Society used it.
I don't want to go through the tapes.
Well, it is. Don't blame it on me. He used it.
You've used it 45 times.
That's right. They say this is a conspiracy.
Right.
I want to know what the conspiracy is.
Now,
I'm trying to find out who's in it and what agencies of government in it, because I want to fight it along with you.
You look
and
like...
Great, Tom. Let me tell you, Tom.
You tell me,
you know,
how can I join the John Birch Society?
Well, gosh, Tom, you got no problem at all. All you need to do is write a letter to the John Birch Society, Belmont, Massachusetts, 02178, and tell them that you would like to purchase for $2 a copy of the Blue Book. Tom, you read it, and I think if you're a dedicated American, you will agree with every word. Then you get in touch with me, and we may even sign you up.
Yeah, but it says here in one of your publications, not just anyone can be a Bircher. Now, how can I be a Bircher?
Anyone. Now, if you don't believe in the Constitution and limited government and free enterprise and biblical values of morality,
I believe in all those, but
not
I don't believe there's a conspiracy.
He'd make a lousy candidate.
Well, Tom, you know, as a matter
of
fact,
is Pat a member of the conspiracy? He's a member of the press.
Let me ask you. He's used, now, Mr. Braden's used for the 47th time the term conspiracy. Now, let me ask you seriously. When you use people like Casey, who's on the Council on Foreign Relations, David Rockefeller's Trilateral Commission, what do you mean? Or do you mean, is that your term, the term conspiracy?
Well, there are many different levels of the problem. But yes, the term has been used, the term of conspiracy. When you have a group of people...
They're actively collaborating, and at the other end of that point of collaboration are communists, and on this end of the point of collaboration is Bill Casey and trilateralists and CFR
Al Haig.
You have people who are part of the elitist structure of this country that have dominated this country openly for 40 years.
I know, but they're not... Is that a conspiracy?
Now, wait a minute. If people quietly working together for evil objectives, two or more, that by definition is a conspiracy. You have, by their own admission, you look at The Tragedy and Hope by Professor Carol Quigley, who's a member of this elitist group. He says, sure, we've been working this. Sure, we've been collaborating with communism. Yes, we're working for a global accommodation. Yes, we're working for world government. The only thing I object to is that we have kept it a secret. And I think we have gone so far along, we should come out and say,
I'll bet you a dollar and a half that Bill Casey doesn't know who Professor Quigley is. I don't.
He's at Georgetown a number of years ago.
He died a couple of years ago, and he wrote The Tragedy and Hope. He's a very noted member of your club, Tom.
Tom, you've got to broaden your reading a little bit.
That's right.
What I ought to do is read more about conspiracies, and that's why I'm interested in what
Well, I'll tell you what you ought to do is go back and look at your founder, Edward Mandel House, because he wrote the book Philip Drew Administrator. And in this, Colonel House said that what he envisioned for the world was a world government along socialist lines, as envisioned by Karl Marx. Now, that's your leader, now, Tom, so you got to go back to the beginning.
Well, his leader was Woodrow Wilson. Do you think he was a communist?
No, I think Woodrow Wilson was his follower. I think Edward Mandel House dominated Wilson, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm. And so Edward Mandel House, that was, we ought to make that clear, he was
Colonel
President
House.
Wilson's principal
alter ego, that's correct.
Yeah. So he is the real villain from which all these conspiracies.
No. He is a major figure, Tom. But there has been, unfortunately, in the West, an element. There are good members in the Council on Foreign Relations, dedicated patriotic people. You've had Sproul Braden, who was a member of the Council of the Birch Society.
Bill Buckley's
and Council on Foreign Relations. You've got some dedicated people, but the driving forces have very clearly been willing to collaborate, subsidize, work for technology transfer for what they feel is some type of an accommodation and merger. And I submit this would be a disaster for the American Republic.
Are there any Congress?
Sure.
Our guest has been Congressman Larry McDonald of the John Birch Society. He's the new chairman. He's succeeded Robert Welsh, who has stepped down, as I understand it. Is that correct?
He's been sort of promoted to Chairman
Emeritus. And founder. And Tom Braden and I will be back with final comments in a moment.
Pat, I just want to tell you, I think some of the people who served in the Nixon White House are good, clean, upstanding, patriotic Americans. And some of them, on the other hand, are suspect. And I'm just going to have Larry McDonald, the head of the Birch Society, take a look at some of those people, and I wonder if he might find you.
Tom, where I disagree...
There's something going on here.
I disagree with Congressman McDonald is the idea of conspiracy with you and your friends. I think it's more of a herding instinct. The direction you've been moving in, inertia, carries you further and further. But I do think this, that slogan, get the U.S. out of the U.N. and the U.N. out of the U.S. looks better and better every day, doesn't it? Maybe they were ahead of their time on that one.
No, Pat, I think we got to have communications with the world, and the U.N. makes me mad, too, but I don't think it's a part of the great conspiracy which extends from Bill Casey and Al Haig all the way to communism.
Well, I think that Larry McDonald's a patriot. I think he's wrong about the conspiracy, but he's probably less wrong about what he says about this country than the guy I'm talking to.
Yeah, I think...
So, interesting stuff. Interesting stuff. lots of names thrown out, lots of stuff there, and Larry McDonald not around much longer than that interview, and he's kind of, I would say, going head to head with both sides of the dialectical conflict, sort of. Tom Braden mentions before the, you know, pre-internet era, as a matter of fact, you know, speaking of Bill Casey, Bill, we will know our disinformation campaign is complete when everything the American public believes is false. Casey, speaking of Bill Casey, I've known Bill Casey, director of the CIA, since World War II. As a matter of fact, he was my boss for 2 years. Really? And so that's a hint. If you're not familiar, Tom Braden, OSS, CIA, Wild Bill Donovan protege, buddy of Nelson Rockefeller, and, you know, rubbing shoulders with kind of everybody. I mean, this is like all public knowledge. A deeply embedded tick, I would say. So, you know, these guys unable to unseat or ruffle Larry McDonald, and Larry McDonald, you know, Larry McDonald, when you listen to him in those kinds of clips, you know, he reminds me of someone like a Malcolm X. You know, he's supposed to be, or an Aaron Russo, you know, Aaron Russo, who intimated Nick Rockefeller, said, you know, why don't you join our gang? And Aaron Russo says, why are you going to do that to these people? You know, and that seems unscrupulous. That's not decent. And Nick Rockefeller basically says, what do you care? What do you care about those people? And so, you know, you see people kind of rise through the fog, the mist, to figure out that maybe all that we're being told is not completely as it, you know, that's not an accurate depiction of the lay of the land, and that in most cases, just about everything is designed and intended to be controlled opposition, whether it was started as such or whether it was conscripted along the way in a sort of COINTELPRO fashion. It's intended to be that. The best way to control the opposition is to lead it. And why would you do that? Well, because you can create the sort of conflict that culminates in songs now by Aaron Lewis and Toby Keith, for example, that seems to correlate directly to Pike's August 15, 1871 letter to Mazzini, outlining three world wars, resulting in this formidable, the third world war resulting in this formidable social cataclysm. Aren't we seeing that now? So, Larry McDonald says what he says, and then the day after his passing, Jerry Falwell is quoted in the Washington Post, CNP member, you know, Pat Robertson too, right? Jerry Falwell, there's a real question in my mind that the Soviets may have actually murdered 269 passengers and crew on the Korean Airlines flight 007 in order to kill Larry McDonald. Boy, that's peeling the veneer back. Who would want to do that? These people that, you know, Tom Braden's trying to do a masterful job of painting Larry McDonald as some kind of kook and wacko. Oh, these, you know, wonderful people in all of these groups, clearly you're in the minority. Larry McDonald, clearly you're the wacko. Are you saying conspiracy? Well, yeah, when you have some people planning in secret to do something unscrupulous and illegal, or to try to make the illegal legal so that they can get away with their crimes, that's a conspiracy by definition. That's what it is. And that's what's been going on in this country for a long, long time. And we could go way back. You know, I was revisiting the whole rights of man, imprescriptible rights of man discussion, you know, the Declaration of the Rights of Man, Thomas Paine and all of that nonsense. You know, the Declaration of the Rights of Man, didn't that come out of the French Revolution, which we kind of publicly acknowledge as an Illuminized coup? And that was a way to move us, basically, like Ezra Pound said, the technique of infamy. That was one of the lies, to move us away from the Ten Commandments, for example, and get us drifting. Stick around, I'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo. What the hell am I doing here?
Welcome back.
Yeah. Wow. Holy cow. Good night. Like little ticks, they just keep multiplying. Holy cow. I'm looking for the latest count. University of Pennsylvania has their think tanks and civil societies program, the Global Think Tank Index, the global go-to think tank index reports. Yeah. Who helped rank more than 6,500 think tanks using a set of 18 criteria developed by the TTCSP. We got to have a program to catalog and rank them all. So, more than 6,500 at last count. And what do they do? Bernays would be proud. The latest report released on January 28, 2021. Absolutely astonishing. So in that clip, I would say that Tom Brayden and Pat Buchanan represent controlled opposition. And shaping thought, perspective, narrative, all that kind of jazz. And Larry McDonald obviously smashing the narrative, giving a volume of very interesting names and so on for people to look into even today. You know, history helps us understand the present. So let's get to solutions, shall we? Because that's fun. Let's just cut right to the chase and get to solutions. What is to be done, dear comrades? So how do we fix America? Simple. Not easy. Granted. You know, because... You know, again, whenever Renee in North Carolina and I have, I think of Renee. She's the one who reminds us that Jay Gould, the railroad tycoon, robber baron extraordinaire, a man of principle, though. Yeah. As E. Ellery Anderson said, I have always found in even the most trivial detail that Mr. Gould lived up to the whole nature of his obligations. Of course, he was always careful and reticent about what he promised, but that promise was invariably fulfilled. So, yeah, he might employ sophistry and intrigue, and he might... Now, that's a whole different issue. But he lived up to his bargain. But he was the guy who... is noted as saying, I can hire one half of the working class to kill the other half. You know, if we get good at the telephone game in the information age, information warfare, information operations, psyops, and so forth are, you know, it's more effective, less expensive than kinetic stuff. I would say mainly because people don't even know that they're in a state of war, that war has openly been declared against them by somebody or other. Those kinds of operations are underway. Even guys who get trained in this stuff, apparently, you know, it doesn't occur to them that maybe it could be happening here and to them, on them. It's a fascinating thing. So if we got good at the telephone game, you know, maybe we wouldn't suffer from these kinds of, you know, Machiavellian efforts of sophistry, intrigue, and so forth. Anyway, how do we fix America? I have some simple ideas. Sure, not easy, but simple. And you gotta understand that, I mean, you go back, maybe you start reading something like the Reese Committee hearings and their reports. You read what Thomas McNeice wrote in his report to the committee, assistant director of research, and that basically, you know, these large foundations, the Rockefeller Foundation, for example, had conspired to really examine every aspect of American life and how to control it and dominate it and bend it to their will. That sounds like a conspiracy to me. Sounds patently un-American. If you're not familiar, read up on the Race Committee and maybe as an additional primer on the subject. I mean, you have Gary Allen's The Rockefeller File, chapter 4, Profit Times Philanthropy Equals Power. Renee Wormser's Foundations, Their Power and Influence. Renee Wormser, obviously, Reese Committee legal counsel. This is what is known as big philanthropy, his analysis, I'll just give you the Amazon book description. This is a searching analysis of some of America's most powerful tax-exempt foundations. Their actions as opposed to their stated purposes, the interlocking groups of men who run them, and their influence on the country at large. So could they possibly be planning in secret to do something if, as Renee Wormser states, their actions are contrary to their stated purposes? That's called dishonesty. That's called lying. That's called false witness. That hints at solutions. The interlocking groups of men who run them, which sounds like, C. Wright Mills, power elite, or Bernays, same thing. These guys, So the author, as counsel to the Reese Committee, which investigated foundations for the last Republican Congress, gained a unique to the inner working of various Rockefeller, Carnegie, and Ford created giants. He also witnessed the intense and powerful opposition to any investigation of these multi-billion-dollar public trusts. The Reese and public trust is very disingenuous, shall we say. The Reese investigation was virtually hamstrung from the start to its early demise. And by the way, it wasn't the first, right? So, that's a whole different discussion. United States House Select Committee to investigate tax-exempt foundations and comparable organizations, known alternatively as the Cox Committee and the Reese Committee. What happened to Edward Eugene Cox? What happened to him? He wasn't around for too much longer after the House Select Committee to investigate tax-exempt foundations. And the Cox Committee said, nope, ship shape, everything's good. Foundations do what they do. Well, that's what we want to know. What do they do? No, they do what they say they do. No. Let's take another look. And so you have the Reese Committee, hamstrung from the beginning. How does Renee Wormser know? Because he was there. The Reese investigation was virtually hamstrung from the start to its early demise, which was aided. And again, one of the public facts that came to light was these guys had a few hundred thousand dollars to investigate the vast network, and the Ford Foundation alone commissioned a figure in the millions to investigate. So the Ford Foundation spent more money to investigate the committee than the committee had to investigate all of, the whole network. Anyway, the Reese investigation was virtually hamstrung from the start to its early demise, which was aided and abetted by leading newspaper of the country. It is difficult for the public to understand, writes Mr. Wormser, that some of the greatest foundations which have done so much for us in some fields, have acted tragically against the public interest in others. But the facts are, the facts are there for the unprejudiced to recognize. The power of the individual foundation giant is enormous when there is like-mindedness among a group of these giants, which apparently is due to the existence of a closely knit group of professional administrators in the social science field. That was a point of particular interest, by the way. The power is magnified hugely. Professional administrators in the social science field, the power is magnified hugely. When such foundations do good, they justify the tax-exempt status which the people grant them. When they do harm, it can be immense harm. There is virtually no counterforce to oppose them. Exactly. So, you know, you start reading these things, you start understanding that, yes, Virginia, there appears to have been a conspiracy for a very long time. You know, just as a final point of note, while we're talking about solutions, and speaking of Thomas McNeice, the assistant director of research, in his report to the Reese Committee titled The Economics of the Public Interest, here's what he wrote. These original studies of the public interest disclose that during the 4 years, 1933 to 36, a change took place which was so drastic as to constitute a revolution. This is a report to Congress. This is not, you know, some comic book. He's not being sensational. It's so drastic as to constitute a revolution. I would say that is in addition to the Reconstruction era. So this could be, you know, you might construe this as the third, maybe even the fourth American Revolution, depends. I suppose we could split hairs. But Thomas McNeice says, during the 4 years, 1933 to 36, a change took place which was so drastic as to constitute a revolution. The original studies of the public interest reveal that. And he said they also indicated conclusively that the responsibility for the economic welfare of the American people had been transferred heavily to the executive branch of the federal government. And as Exhibit A, again, I would offer Senator Pat McCarran's words on the Senate floor when Congress passed the Administrative Procedure Act. And McCarran says on the Senate floor, Senate Judiciary Chairman says, we have created a fourth branch, and he reiterated that a few times, but he said Senate Bill 7 is a bill of rights for the hundreds of thousands of Americans whose affairs are controlled in one way or another by agencies of the federal government. It is designed to provide guarantees of due process in administrative procedure. What? And then he said it touches every phase and form of human activity, and it deals with that which, at the opening of my statement, I described as the fourth dimension or fourth branch of our democracy. In other words, by the Constitution, the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branches of our government were set up. But now we have a fourth branch, the administrative form of our government. It's a coup. So McNeice went on in his report to write that a corresponding change in education had taken place from an impetus outside the local community. You mean the National Education Association is not supposed to create Hitler Youth programs? No, probably not. And that this revolution had occurred without violence and with full consent of an overwhelming majority of the electorate. What? In seeking to explain this unprecedented phenomenon, subsequent studies pursued by the staff clearly showed it could not have occurred peacefully or with the consent of the majority unless education in the United States had been prepared in advance to endorse it. And guess what? Intriguers were working from behind the scenes to do just that. Guys like Rockefeller, Frederick Taylor Gates, John Dewey, etc., etc. changing our mindset from rugged individualism to this collectivist mindset. It takes a village to raise idiots. Instead of just teaching our children right from wrong, you know, getting lazy and expecting school teachers to be parents, for example, that doesn't bode well. So we have these points of evidence that, yes, Virginia, and there are myriad others that we could point to. Books by, you know, guys like Gary Allen, Dan Smoot is a name that doesn't come up often these days. You know, so many authors along the way that have told us, I mean, what about you know, what about the law that never was, for example? Stick around, we'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with
Solutions. So I'll get to solutions in a second. So, you know, the law that never was, the fraud of the 16th Amendment and personal income taxes, William Jay Benson and Martin J. Red Beckman. Bill Benson and Red Beckman. What about that research project? Oh, that's been debunked on Wikipedia. That's not... Come on, Chris. Anyway, we get to solutions specifically in a minute. To the phones, John in Tennessee. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Boy, you got my head swimming this morning, Chris. I'm listening to the esoteric language that's being used, you know, the fourth dimension. Bible verses are coming to mind, like, you know, angels of light, but inwardly they are ravening wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, how about if you want, and this is from personal experience, people can be motivated to do about anything you want. If you reward them properly, you can get anything you want done. For most people, some are not easily manipulated, but you made a comment, and I can't recall it verbatim. It was basically that they do so much good, but yet they're a danger to society or something to that effect.
That was that was reading from the Amazon book description of Renee Wurmser's Foundations, Their Power and Influence. And so Wurmser writes that some of the great foundations which have done so much for us in some fields have acted tragically against the public interest in others. But the facts are there for the unprejudiced to recognize.
Well, and I think you need the key to do that. You know, you really do need the key, the ring, the decoder ring, to be able to mm-hmm. see through this stuff.
Yeah.
Everything that's going on is outlined in the Bible. Every mm-hmm. bit of it. And if you're studied enough in the Bible, I can't quote you chapter and verse. I can't even quote the verse, many of them. I can't quote them completely and accurately. But the verse comes to mind and I go, hey, I know that. What is that? What is that? And you're racking your mind because they're accomplishing their goal. And we've said, you and I both and others have said, this is a spiritual battle. So basically, these shepherds that we have supposedly elected and put in place.
Are you there?
Whether I am. Can you not hear me?
Yeah, hello? I didn't for a second. I don't know if it was me or. Yeah.
Well, you know, that happens sometimes. these shepherds that we put in place.
Yeah.
That we've elected, and the churches that we go to, and the men that have been to seminary and have spent thousands of their own dollars to be taught a lie that they refuse to believe is a lie, even when you present them with biblical.
Yeah, that reminds me of The Hireling, and Mel Gibson had some interesting words regarding The Hireling, and so I think maybe we should play that. I think we'll do that in the second hour.
I'll listen. Well, okay, but what I'm saying is, Chris,
hold that thought, John. Let's finish that on the other side of the break. Stick around, folks. Second hour coming up. We'll be right back.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you